Angela Sloan is an investment advisor and representative of Sloan Financial Group, LLC. Investment and advisory services are offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC. MAS is a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC. MAS and Sloan Financial are not affiliated companies.
It's time for The Retirement Architect with Angela Sloan of Sloan Financial Group. This is the show for you. If you're a retiree or approaching retirement and you want to make sure your financial plan has a solid foundation, get ready to learn how to design your own retirement blueprint. Here's Angela.
Hello, listeners out there in Radio Land. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement architect. We have some interesting topics that we want to cover with you today. We want to talk about the financial fire extinguishers. And then we want to talk about some myth busters. Many of you have heard a lot of myths about retirement, but you don't know that they're myths. And then we want to take some listener questions and maybe give some good answers that might pertain to you. And then we're going to wind up with 401k and the advantages and disadvantages of 401ks. So let's get started with the financial fire extinguishers. You know, many of us have a fire extinguisher in our kitchen that we never intend to use. You know, you never picture that fire happening to you. But on occasion, you might need that fire extinguisher. And if the time arises that you need that fire extinguisher and don't have it, it can burn the whole house down. So some of the financial fire extinguishers that we need to have are extremely important to our well-being and to the well-being of our family. And a lot of these are more for our family, for those living around us, than for you. One of those is legal documents. You know, you need your will, or maybe in some cases a trust, powers of attorney documents. And those don't make great dinner conversation. Let's face it, none of us like talking about dying. But they can make a huge difference in your family once you're incapacitated or passed away. And most people either don't have the documents they should have, or they don't have them updated appropriately. So, for example, a will. Your will does not take place until you're pronounced dead. And if you die intestate, which means you die without a will, the lawyers are going to love you, because they make a lot of money off of people who don't plan. And it can cause a lot of family rifts, and it can cause a lot of family contention. And it's best if you lay out your wishes in writing and you have your document in place up to date at the time you die. Some of you out there may need a trust. Now, trust is not for everybody. Some reasons, these are not all the reasons, but some reasons that you might need a trust is that you have a child that maybe they married the wrong person, maybe they have a substance abuse problem, maybe that child is on Medicaid, has a physical or a mental disability, and they cannot inherit a lump sum of money, or you don't feel comfortable with them having a lump sum of money when you die. You can control how that money is paid to them through a trust. Another reason for a trust might be that you have real estate in more than one state or more than one county, because you have to do probate in every state and every county where you own real estate. So if you have a lot of real estate around different areas, that might be another reason to do a trust. So, you know, you may want to leave money behind to help grandchildren with college. That might be another reason to do a trust. So there's different reasons to do trust. It doesn't always boil down to estate taxes. That used to be the big reason, but now that the estate tax limit is over $5.2 million, don't see that as much. But if you have a very large estate, that might be another reason for a husband and wife to do a trust. Your power of attorney documents are another fire extinguisher. You have your durable power of attorney, D-U-R-A-B-L-E, durable. Your durable power of attorney is who you name to make money decisions for you in the event that you can't. And if you're married, that needs to be the other spouse. If you're not married, it needs to be somebody that you trust to pay your bills and make money decisions. So, for example, if you're incapacitated, you've had a stroke, whatever, your spouse cannot even sell your car without your power of attorney. So that is a very important document to have. The other one is your health care power of attorney. Your health care power of attorney is who you name to make medical decisions for you in the event that you can't. So you picture yourself, you're unconscious, and somebody wants to amputate your right arm. Who would you trust to make that decision? That needs to be in writing. The other one that I've seen a lot of families fall apart on is when somebody does not have a living will and that decision has to be made about life support. So if you have in writing that you want to be resuscitated, don't want to be resuscitated, you want a feeding tube, don't want a feeding tube, If you have it in writing, it's your decision, and there's nothing for family to disagree on. So please make sure that you have those documents. You know, most people don't associate legal documents with financial planning, when in fact, it's one of the most important parts of the financial planning. It's basically, it's your foundation. So we do monthly classes here at Sloan Financial on estate planning and making sure that you have these documents. And it's taught by a very good attorney. So if you're interested in coming to one of those classes to learn more, go to our website, www.sloanfinancial.net. Send us an email and let us know that you're interested in coming to one of those classes, and we'll make sure that you get the schedule. So the next financial extinguisher, fire extinguisher, is your long-term care protection. When it comes to the long-term care, I could write you a book on that one, because I had my mother and my grandmother both for 8 years. My grandmother died. I still have my mother. I've had her in my home for over 10 years. And folks, I'm here to tell you, you don't want to do this to your children. You do what you have to do, but you made promises to your family, and the best thing that you can do for your children is to be able to take care of yourself. I promised my kids I will not do this to them. If I have nothing else, I have a long-term care plan in place. Again, one of the most important parts. You know, there's good news and bad news in today's world. The good news is that we're living longer than we've ever lived. And the bad news is that we're living longer than we've ever lived. So you need to have a plan in place to take care of that. As I said before, nobody ever intended to go to the nursing home, but the nursing homes is full of people who never intended to be there. And you don't want to put everything that you've worked for in jeopardy because you failed to have a plan. And I know some people see those tight plans as a waste of money. If they're put together properly, then your family's going to benefit from them whether you go to a nursing home or not. And that's why you need to make sure that you speak with somebody who is experienced and knowledgeable in this area. So if you have questions on the long-term care, give us a call at 803-222-2892 or go to our website and shoot us an email with your question. It's sloanfinancial.net. All right, the third fire extinguisher when it comes to your finances is your life insurance. Nobody likes to talk about life insurance. Nobody likes to pay for life insurance. Nobody likes life insurance, but they all like what life insurance does. And when someone passes away, all of a sudden it's very important. Just like when that fire takes place in the kitchen, all of a sudden that fire extinguisher is very important. But I'll give you an example. You have a husband and wife. Everything's going fine. One of them dies. Now one Social Security check is gone. You cannot avoid that. You lose a Social Security check. And in some cases, that could be almost half of your income. You better have some type life insurance or some plan in place that will replace the income that was just lost, or the spouse that's left behind is going to take a real dip in their lifestyle. So life insurance is that third fire extinguisher that you better have in place to replace income that's lost when one of you pass away. The fourth fire extinguisher is some type of income stream. As long as you have assets to draw down on it, it doesn't matter too much if you have lifetime income stream. But if you drain those assets to a zero, you'll be very thankful for those income streams. And I've always said you never depend on the stock market for your living expense. So you want to make sure that you have some type lifetime income stream to cover your living expenses. You never know what the market's going to do, but you do need that predictable, sustainable, inflation-adjusted lifetime income to cover those basic living expenses. So some examples of those would be Social Security. Okay, that's an income stream. If you have a pension, a corporate pension of some sort, that's an income stream, but you need to be careful, because we're seeing more and more pensions are trying to do buyouts. They're trying to get out of those pensions because, like I said, one of those blessings, we're living longer than we've ever lived, and it's really putting a strain on the pension plans. You know, annuities is another lifetime pension income. You can set as kind of a self-made pension. So you can go into one of those type agreements in order to have that sustainable lifetime income as well. So there's different ways of building those income streams, but you need to make sure that you have those income streams to cover your basic living expenses. So let's take a break now, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Retirement Architect with Angela Sloan. Don't forget to call the team for a complimentary review. 803-222-2892. That's 803-222-2892.
Someone might try to sell you a home by slapping a new coat of paint on the exterior and drawing your attention to a nice living room inside. But what they might be hiding is that ugly and dangerous crack in the foundation on the side of the house. Unfortunately, you see tactics like this in the financial world. Advisors try to sell you the shiny object and ignore the cracks that might be hiding in the foundation of your financial plan. So turn to the retirement architect, Angela Sloan, to help you build a solid foundation for your financial plan. You'll feel better about what's ahead in retirement once that plan is in place. Call 803-222-2892. That's 803-222-2892. Attention, business owners, you're probably paying too much personal income tax. Tax Law Solutions has helped business owners permanently reduce personal income taxes by 20 to 40%. Call 787-200-3359. That's 787-200-3359 or online at taxlawsolutions.net.
American architect Frank Lloyd Wright was famous for his ability to seamlessly blend natural and man-made environments together. Keep listening to Angela Sloan, your retirement architect, to see how she seamlessly blends your retirement plan with the unique needs of your lifestyle.
Okay, welcome back. Promised you when we came back we'd do some Mythbusters. So let's take a look at some of these myths. Myth number one. Shifting from stocks to bonds removes the volatility from your portfolio. Well, that used to be the case, but not so much anymore, and we'll use 2015 as the prime example. You know, most people think, well, if I have some stocks and I have some bonds, then when one's down, the other one will be up and vice versa. 2015 is just 1 year of the perfect example where that didn't happen, and we've seen many of those years in the past 15, 16 years. So this past year, the Fed started talking about raising interest rates in January 2015. Obviously, they couldn't do it, so they said, okay, we'll do it in the second quarter, and they still couldn't do it. Well, meanwhile, the talk of the interest rates going up caused the bond market to drop. Finally, in June, they said, well, you know, we're still not going to be able to raise interest rates, so we'll just wait and readdress this in the fall. Meanwhile, the bond market's continuing to fall. So about the end of June is when the S&P and the Dow and the stock market started dropping. So those went into a nosedive along with the bond market, and both were in the toilet. So 2015 is a prime example where that did not work. So don't count on that working. You know, just shifting from stocks to bonds does not remove the volatility. They're both volatile. It's just that it's different things that affect them. And 2015 was the perfect storm where they were both affected. There's another myth out there that, you know, once you're retired, life insurance is no longer necessary. And I take you back to number three fire extinguisher that we talked about, the life insurance. As I said before, when one dies, you have a husband and wife, one dies, a Social Security check is going to go away, and you better have a plan in place to replace that Social Security check. Your lifestyle is based on both checks, and you don't want to take a lifestyle cut because somebody dies. If you're single, you're going to have final expenses. And I'm going to tell you something too, married or single, life insurance is one of the best things you can leave to your family because it is tax-free. So life insurance proceeds pay out tax-free. If you want to know more about the volatility and the life insurance, please send us a question. You can do it through our website, which is sloanfinancial.net, or you can give us a call at 803-222-2892. Mythbuster number three, you're going to need less income when you're retired than you need while working. You may say, well, I'm not going to be putting into a 401k anymore. I'm not going to be paying Social Security and Medicare tax anymore, so I'm not going to need as much income. And that might be true the first couple of years, but what you're going to find is that your health care cost is going to go up. Your overall cost of living is going to go up due to inflation. So in essence, don't plan on that happening. You're not necessarily going to need less income when you're retired than you need when you're working. Aging means you're going to need more income. Inflation means that you're going to need more income. Let's look at myth buster number 4. You're probably going to be in a lower tax bracket once you retire. I love this one. Most people are finding out that that just did not happen. And being in the tax business, I've had this conversation over and over. And one that particularly comes to mind is a fellow who worked for one of the utility companies. And he kept saying, yeah, but I'll be retired and I'll be paying less tax. And I said, no, you won't. So I went to the whiteboard and I drew it out. I said, here's what's going to happen. And when he saw that 85% of his Social Security was going to be taxed and that his tax bracket was not going to change, his eyes rolled out. And he said, I didn't know that could happen. And it absolutely can and probably will happen in your case. So if you're wondering what kind of tax bracket you're going to be in retirement, we'll be glad to look at that. We need to see your tax returns, but you can call us at 803-222-2892 and make arrangements for us to look at your tax situation. Myth number 5, financial planning today is much easier to do without a professional because all of the technology that's available. And I will tell you that is absolutely false. Yes, Mr. Google can give you some good answers, but Mr. Google can also give you some very bad answers. It's just way too complicated to go on your own. Social Security is extremely complicated. The tax situation has gotten even more complicated. Just those two things alone means that you need a professional involved in order to do proper financial planning. There's too much at stake for you to make a bad decision at this point in life. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have some listener questions. If you have a question, you can email us at sloanfinancial.net or call us at 803-222-2892. We'll be back in a moment.
You don't have to have built a house to know the importance of a blueprint. From floor to ceiling, drywall to plumbing, you have to follow up on every detail. And you look for an architect to work with who has a solid track record of success and someone who cares about your ideas and safety. Because you're building more than a house, you're building a future. And your retirement plan should be treated the same way. You need a financial architect to consider all the details and keep your safety and dreams in mind when designing a plan for you. Call Angela Sloan and her team at Sloan Financial Group to get your own financial blueprint. Call 803-222-2892. That's 803-222-2892.
In the construction world, architects use all sorts of gadgets when designing a building. They look for just the right tool to complete the job. Your retirement architect host, Angela Sloan, has lots of tools at her disposal, too. Keep listening to find out how she designs the perfect plan.
And I want to welcome you back. Promised you some listener questions. So Raymond in Waxhaw emailed us and said, I'm thinking about starting my Social Security now that I'm old enough and to get it without limiting how much other income I can earn. Is this a recommended strategy? Well, Raymond, I'll tell you this. Waiting until your full retirement age is better than starting early, so you're not taking the reduction. But here's the question you need to ask yourself. If you're going to have other income, how much of your Social Security is going to be taxed because of that other income? And between full retirement age and age 70, your Social Security check will grow 8% a year. Where else are you guaranteed 8%? So I would tend to say, if you're going to have other income, let's wait on taking the Social Security. Now, I say that with this disclaimer. Social Security is very complicated. Everybody's situation is going to be a little bit different. I would recommend that you have us look at that Social Security before you make that decision. You need to know all the ins and outs, and you need to know why to do it, and you need to know why not to do it so that you can weigh this out and see what's going to be the best decision for you. So if you have a question, you just let us know. I'll be glad to sit down and look at this with you. Harold in Matthews says, I've researched different financial licenses and designations. It seems that many of them are similar, but they also have their differences. Is there a particular license or designation I should be looking for in an advisor? And I'm here to tell you, in my opinion, more than designation, I would be looking for experience. You know, your designation, you can have somebody with a whole bunch of letters after their name, But if they haven't had the experience and they haven't been into financial situations and seen things as they unfolded, you know, the designation won't mean as much. You know, you've seen people with college degrees that didn't have sense enough to tie their shoes. And that's my point. Just because they have a designation doesn't mean that they have the experience. I would encourage you to do this. Regardless of the designation, go to FINRA, FINRA.org, and check out that person. You can go to what's called Broker Check. It's right on the first page of FINRA. And you can do a check to see if they've ever been in any kind of trouble, if they're in good standing. You can see their history of how long they've been licensed, and you can see their entire work record in the securities industry. So I would encourage you to research and go to FINRA.org to look up whomever you're looking at working with to make sure that they're in good standing. Then we have Elizabeth in Fort Mill. Elizabeth says that my husband isn't inclined to do any retirement planning because he says he'll just keep working. Is this mindset okay? I guess I'm worried about what happens if he can't keep working, even if he wants to. And Elizabeth, you better be concerned and know that mindset is not okay, because the reality is the older you get, the less likely you're going to be able to work. You know, sometimes things happen with our health. You know, things just happen that you have no control over, and you won't be able to work forever, and you better have a plan in place when that happens. And Elizabeth, I'll tell you this too. Being a female, statistically, you'll be the one left holding the bag, because statistics tell us we women live longer, we take more medicine, we go to the doctor more often, and the men drop dead. So you're going to be the one holding the bag. And I would encourage him to do some planning. To me, not doing the planning is reckless. So the planning is essential. And Elizabeth, if you want help with that, you can email me at sloanfinancial.net. You can go to info@sloanfinancial.net. Or you can call me at 803-222-2892, and I'll be glad to help you any way I can. We'll be right back in a few minutes. And we're going to talk about 401ks. So if you have questions about 401ks, you want to stay tuned.
You're listening to The Retirement Architect with Angela Sloan. Don't forget to call the team for a complimentary review. 803-222-2892. That's 803-222-2892.
Attention, business owners. Permanently and dramatically reduce your personal income taxes by 20 to 40% this year and for years to come. In America, there are two tax systems, one for the informed and one for the uninformed. Both are legal. Call Tax Law Solutions today to find out if you're paying too much. Call 787-200-3359. That's 787-200-3359 or online at taxlawsolutions.net.
You're listening to The Retirement Architect. Here's Angela Sloan.
Hey, welcome back. Let's go into the 401ks and some questions that I get quite a bit. Before we jump into a discussion about 401ks, is it safe to assume that we can lump all retirement accounts like 403bs and TSPs into the same category for the purposes of discussion? The answer is no, because there are firewalls between those accounts when it comes to required minimum distributions. They are very similar, but 401ks are for-profit companies, so they're for corporations. The 403b, being very similar to a 401k, is for state governments and nonprofits, that type thing. So you can't exactly lump them all, but for the sake of discussion, they are retirement accounts. So, you know, some people say that you should contribute no more to the company than the company matches to your 401k. Others say you should max it out if possible. So how do you typically advise these people, you might ask? Well, it depends on the person. I'll tell you the good and the bad about 401ks. 401ks have put us in a tax situation. We were kicking the can down the road because we were told, back when these plans first started in the late 70s or so, that when you get to retirement, you're going to be in a lower tax bracket. You're going to be paying less taxes. And we know that that didn't happen. So when it comes to putting money into a retirement plan, you actually have a choice. you can choose to pay taxes on the seed. So picture yourself with a handful of seed, or you can pay taxes on the entire harvest. So you have your handful of seed. Would you rather pay taxes on that handful of corn seed, or would you wait and plant the corn, let the crop come in, and then you pay taxes on the entire crop? Well, of course, common sense tells you you'd rather pay taxes on the seed. Well, with these type retirement plans, we chose to pay taxes on the harvest, and we good citizens did not think that through. Now, the good part about 401ks is that it got us saving money that we would not have ordinarily saved. So we heard things like tax deduct, pre-tax, tax advantage. We heard all those tax terms and said, oh yes, give me all I can get. Well, it did get you saving money that you may not have saved otherwise, but now it's mushroomed into a big tax problem. And I love the tax-free retirement concept. I'm all about trying to save on the taxes. So if it is the right client, I will tell them not to put any more into that 401k than the company matches, because I feel like there's better things you can do with the rest of it. If you're not disciplined enough to do something with the rest of it, then go ahead and do the payroll deduction. That's better than doing nothing, okay? Some of the major mistakes that I see people make with their 401ks is that they don't rearrange their portfolios the way they should. And with 401ks, your average worker, they just don't have the experience to know how to allocate their 401ks into those different categories. And here we have what we call the 401k optimizer, where you actually get an email every quarter telling you how to rearrange your 401k. So it's based on your need and what you're trying to accomplish. So, you know, we have access to all the 401k options that are out there. And if when you sign up for our optimizer, which by the way costs a whopping $75 a year, it's a very good price for what you get. You get these emails telling you how to allocate your 401k. So your average worker is just, it's not their cup of tea, it's not their field of expertise to know how to allocate their 401ks. And that's one of the biggest mistakes I see. And you know, during the 2008 crisis, you had people saying, well, gee, I guess I should have done something within my 401k, I just didn't know what to do. So the 401k optimizer helps people know what to do and when to do it. So some of the biggest disadvantages of the 401k, in my opinion, is the future taxes. I love the Roth 401k since they've come out with that. The Roth 401k works very much like a Roth IRA, except that you're allowed to put more in. You can still have the match, but you're not putting it in pre-tax. So you're going to pay taxes on the seed, but you're not going to pay taxes on the harvest. So I love the Roth IRA concept. And you know, you say, okay, I might want to roll money out of my 401k into an IRA. Is that possible, and is it something that you recommend? Well, you can roll money from your 401k to an IRA. Once you turn 59 and a half, you can move the money in your 401k to an IRA. Some employers have what's called an in-service distribution. So before you turn 59 and a half, sometimes there's a portion of that 401k you can roll into an IRA. And I do recommend that you get your money under your thumb as quickly as you can. I don't like it being under the control of somebody else. So you do need to get it under your control as soon as you possibly can. So I do recommend rolling from the 401k to the IRA. You know, there's some reasons not to do that. Some of those reasons is that you can start withdrawing systematically from a 401k at an earlier age than you can an IRA. You can do it from a 401k at around age 55, and you have to wait until age 59 and a half to do that from any other type retirement plan. So, you know, rare occasions, but some reasons that you wouldn't roll money from a 401k. I've also seen cases where somebody dies with a 401k and the beneficiaries are required to take the full distribution right then. They don't have a choice, and the tax man can kill them. So I'm more in favor of getting money moved from the 401k to the IRA as quickly as you can. This has been a great show, folks. I appreciate all of your input and your questions. I encourage you, if you have questions, to email us at info@sloanfinancial.net or give us a call at 803-222-2892. and we will be here same time next week.